Welcome back to part two of South Shore Avs annual NBA season preview. This is the Av Podcast. My name is Cal C. And this episode is a continuation from where we left off yesterday. Along with my guest Julian, aka Jules the Commish, we'll be ranking and discussing the playoff teams in the Western Conference. So we'll be ranking them from the bottom to the top. And no, no, Sacramento did not make the list. It's shocking, I know. South Shore Avenue is available wherever you listen to podcasts. But you can specifically tune in to all the South Shore Ave shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. And to listen and subscribe to the website, you can go to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. All right, let's get back to part two, the Western Conference playoff teams in the South Shore Ave NBA preview. And it starts back right now. So at this point forward now, we're only going to be discussing playoff teams. So the number eight spot that we got is going to be the New Orleans Pelicans. Are we witnessing the last season of Anthony Davis in a Pelicans uniform?
Yes. I won't even let you finish. Yes. I think he's been in the league long enough where I think he's ready to contend for a championship. The way that the league is evolving with these, I won't even call them super teams. I'll call them friend teams, friendly teams, like where your best friend is playing on this squad and you want to join him into that era. And I think he doesn't have a good friend on New Orleans. He doesn't have that. He's looking for that bestie friend. And he has no bestie friend on New Orleans. And I think he's going to go to a squad where there he can join forces with good friends and all-stars. I've heard already today or yesterday that Kyrie, I don't know if this tampering, but Kyrie Irving said, yeah, I've been talking to Davis about joining Boston next year. Like, I've never heard that. Like not never heard that, but I can't believe I read what I saw on the Twitter that, yeah, he's thinking about trying to bring Anthony Davis into Boston next year. So this is his last year. He's done. And he sees where everybody else is moving, and that's the trend. Players are moving to teams, and management is making maneuvers of making the contracts fit. So he's gone.
I can't believe you don't consider Solomon Hill a bestie. What's wrong with you? You're an asshole, Julian.
You're a big asshole. That's another team that kind of overachieved too, to be honest with you. I thought they overachieved big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what? I like the NBA right now for being real, because they always talk about the whole tampering issue. You know players are talking to each other daily basis. At least we're not pretending now. Like, you know what I mean? So let's, like, don't hit guys with tampering. Like, you know what's happening. Like, you can't, even if you, of course, you have to impart those rules on it and stuff. Like, you have to do it, you know, publicly. You definitely have to do it. But, you know, everybody's got cell phones. Everybody's got DMs. And I mean, come on, man.
It's just weird to me, though, because I think the NBA is one, I'm not going to say no other league, but it's unique to me that it's a whole entire league where almost everybody is good friends with one another.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hockey is you train together like any other sport together, but you're not like doing endorsement deals together. Like, I don't know. It's just the NBA is one league where, you know, you're hanging out with the opposition, you know, in the off season, like players, and you're training together. I saw like five or six clips of players of all different teams training together,
playing 5-on-5.
You know, like, you know, at the gym working out.
Was it Rico Hines? Is that his name? Rico Hines, like and Chris Brinkley and those runs in like New York and LA and stuff. Like,
LA, yeah, exactly.
You saw Siakam a part of those ones too.
Yeah. And so to me, it's like, I don't see that, man. It's just weird. It's good because it allows players to develop the game playing with elite players, right? So it's good for those individual players, but from a fan's perspective, it's just weird to see all these guys hanging out and whatnot. And then you have, when the season starts, you kind of receive what you got on your squad. And you're like, this is not like what I did in the summer. And I'm good friends with so-and-so. Let's see if we can make things happen. Mm-hmm. It's a weird time to be a fan in the NBA. And I don't know if this is good for the NBA. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the whole super team era. Like, you're just used to it now, but like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I can't say I'm a total fan of it. I'm not, to be honest with you. And then obviously, you know, to answer my own question, I would say yes, this will be his last season, because to steal a quote from Bill Simmons, he came up with the term pre-agency, where people are using their last year. They're not waiting until they become a free agent. They're waiting. They're using their last year as leverage, basically telling teams like, hey, I'm not staying with you. So if you want to get something from me now, do it, because I'm not going to be with you past the next season. And even though he's got 3 years left on his deal, his player option is for 2020. So, you know, next year is going to be his pre-agency year, if you want to use it as such. And
yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And that's what I was going to be used. And then the fact that he switched agencies and joined up with LeBron's clutch management, well, Rich Paul's clutch management. Yeah, yeah. So you know how that's going to go. Like, basically, those guys aren't afraid to hold out if they don't get what they want. So this I think that situation is going to get a little ugly before it gets better. And then a couple things before we move on, like they're refusing to address a small forward. I think it's kind of worse than Phoenix not addressing their point guard situation.
For like a decade.
How long have we been talking about this? They can't get a small forward to play there. It's weird. It's weird, man. Like, we listen, I don't want to talk about AD because we know how great he is. Like, I think he's a future MVP. He's made the playoffs twice in his whole career. And he's never played more than 75 games at most. Can him and Holiday stay healthy all season? That's the question, which probably is going to be no. And I think losing Rondo was actually going to hurt them a lot more than people realize. Because I think he worked amazingly with both AD and Holiday. He ran their team and he was a perfect fit for them. So I was surprised that they would let him go like that. Especially because, you know, especially when Boogie, you know, got hurt and then, you know, he went to Golden State. And like some of the pieces they picked up were Julius Randle, and you know they're keeping Mirotić for now. He's in his last year of his deal too. Like I figured honestly, like they would have kept somebody like Rondo. Like, I know Rondo's not a superstar, but he's that point guard that like he can run your offense, he can run your team while you're on the floor. He's the coach on the floor. So I'm surprised they would let him go, especially considering Holiday's injury history. Like I don't think Alfred Payton is the answer.
Unless he wanted too much, he wanted years on the contract, or he wanted more dollars. Who knows what?
Yeah.
Maybe they tried to negotiate. Who knows? But what did he get with LA? He got
like 9 mil, like, 10 mil.
How many was it? 1 year.
1 year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty decent money for it.
Yeah, I would have paid that. Like I don't know what their cap situation is off the top of my head, but I mean, I think that's a pretty decent deal to sign him back. He was a big part of your success last year.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. And he could still play. He was never like the above the rim type player, whereas he's going to be losing a major step. He was always that kind of slow method, kind of like quarterback type of player. So he can still produce at what he does.
Sneaky fantasy play.
I don't know if it's sneaky, but I got to go with Randle. There's nobody else that I'm going to pick off the squad. If he can stay healthy too, Julius Randle, he's going to be a guy that might get minutes in behind AD, because, you know, AD is not going to play all 80 games. And and I know Mirotić is there too, but I think Randle might be the guy that might actually put some numbers up. He has something to prove being traded away from LA. He was supposed to be like the cornerstone, but the guy, like one of the core players for LA. And he has something to prove as well. So he's my sneaky pick.
Okay. So number seven, we got the San Antonio Spurs. So here's a question I'll ask. Do you still think about DeMar DeRozan?
Oh, man. Man, I try to look for clips. I try to see how – I'm looking for post-game interviews or preseason game interviews. I'm keeping tabs on my boy, man. Yes, I'm still looking for DeMar. I'm still watching him from afar. I want him to do well. I think he is going to do well. I think the Spurs are going to do well. Mm-hmm. I don't think, like, when I mean do well, I mean, like, do what he's used to doing. Like, I don't think he's going to take a major step back. I think he's going to be able to produce what we're accustomed of seeing. And to be honest, San Antonio is not a bad team. Like, he has LaMarcus still there. They have Pop, of course. I think they're going to do all right. They're an older veteran team. That's the only downside for this team, but I think DeMar is going to do just fine. He'll get his shots up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how DeRozan looks in the Spurs culture. I think it's a good fit for him, and he's an extremely hard worker. That's obviously he's improved his game every year since he's been in the league. He's got a low key personality, what fits right into that, and he loves basketball to death. You add Pop to season the rest of his game up, and I think it's going to make him much better. I think the move is actually really good for him. It's a really good opportunity for him. I think they're a little too low on this list personally, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I think how him and LaMarcus are going to coexist as two dominant mid-range players in the three and out, you know, the 3-and-D era that we're living in right now is going to be the major question. I think the Spurs, to me, are going to be one of the most intriguing teams in the league. I think, you know, obviously their old guard and their culture ended this offseason, especially with Ginobili retiring and Parker moving on to the Hornets. But what direction they're headed in is going to be interesting to see. I can see them. To me, I had them as like the third or fourth spot, but like I wouldn't be surprised if they fall to the seventh spot. But I think it's just we're going to see pretty early how this team is going to round out.
I think so too. I think they're going to finish in that like fifth to eighth spot. The only issue I see with Spurs is like their future with Pop. And they don't really have any young studs to look onto going forward. So that's the only issue. But like for the next 2-3 years, I think they're going to be just fine. And I think they're going to be a playoff team going forward.
Yeah, and I think you got to look out for DeJounte Murray. I think he's. I'm looking for his game to jump a level.
Yeah,
he's going to get the opportunity this year for sure.
Exactly, and that was going to be like my sneaky pick. Like it may not be sneaky because he's a starting point guard. Like, he should be starting. I assume he's starting, and I don't like choose the starting players, but he hasn't started in the past, so he's my sneaky pick in terms of being a fantasy guy that you want to look for.
And I'm also looking to see what Lonnie Walker is going to do as well. He looked, just from the clips I've seen of him, he's really athletic. So it's going to be interesting to see how Pop implements him on the team. So the sixth overall selection for the Western Conference slot is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers. So the question is this: which piece of hardware is LeBron James going to enjoy winning more? His fifth MVP award? His fourth NBA title? An Oscar, an Emmy, or an American Music Award?
Which way he's going to enjoy more? He's not going to get any of them. So I don't know what. But if he did get one, I don't know. He'll probably enjoy getting the championship most out of all, for sure. That's what every player wants.
I say an Emmy, but go on.
Yeah, but I don't see him winning any of those things. I do see the Lakers doing well. You have to do well with LeBron. Like, look what he did with Cleveland, right? So, but he's in the West, and the only difference is that instead of finishing number one overall, they're gonna finish like fifth, sixth, or between that guy again, that 5-8 spot. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll make playoffs. I think they'll do some damage, and I think everybody, once they learn how to, because LeBron is not easy. Like those super, super, super megastars are hard to play with, mm-hmm. and it's hard to find a role with guys like that. But once they find their role, I think they'll do well, and they're definitely make the playoffs and do some damage.
I think he's gonna try to. I think he's absolutely gunning for an Emmy this season. I think he's gonna be the first one to get one as an active player. You seen the student athlete documentary, dog?
You seen the shop?
He's trying to get an Emmy, man. He's trying to get an Emmy.
He's definitely setting himself up for that post career. This is the best way to do it. Like in terms of being in LA. Getting his companies up and running, mm-hmm. being in the mecca of entertainment. So he's setting himself up. He reminds me of like Jay-Z and of the hip hop world, like how he's so strategic and he's still about basketball. But at this point, how old is he now? How old? He's like
33. Maybe 34 this year.
He only has like 2-3 more. Well, who knows with LeBron, right? But he has maybe one, two more years max at this level.
Right,
and then that's it, and then it just goes downhill quick. It usually goes down quick. Mm-hmm. It's not a slow, gradual turn.
Nope.
So he's smart. He's smart. He's setting himself up there. He's got enough in the NBA.
Now it's funny. I think this offseason kind of showed you that, especially superstar players, they're not as crazy to play with LeBron as they were before. Like you kind of because of the, I think you know the last 8 years you've kind of seen that like you kind of get swallowed up by a shadow. And as great as you can, as great as you are, you got to be the Robin to his Batman. He wants to play, make like play with super teams, but like as long as he's Batman and you're, you know, the underlings. So I don't think like what a Paul George, everybody are. He's definitely going there. You know, next year Kawhi's definitely going there. And I'm like, don't be so sure. I think players are smart. Like everybody's looking at the landscape the last 8 years. Like Dwayne Wade kind of got swallowed up by LeBron's shadow.
Yeah.
You know, and then Kyrie, you know, he traded. Like I think that was the first sign. The fact that he traded, you know, he requested a trade to not play with him anymore and had success without him is telling. You know what I mean? So I don't think, like, I think LeBron's in takeover mode and, you know, he's trying to be a mogul in the media and sports and the whole clutch management angle thing is crazy. But I think the biggest part of it is that. I don't think it's not much. I don't think the appeal is as strong as it used to be before.
And you know what? I think if you're like an AD or Leonard or some a guy who's ready to take on his own team. LeBron is at that age where he's only going to be around. Like, his contract was four years. But he's not going to be at that level for 4 years.
Yeah, of course.
So like to me, it's like I would rather be with somebody who's around my age, right, and who I can build for the next 3 to 6 years, right. So and like if I'm thinking if I'm in that position, I want to go to a team or a squad that has at least one or two guys around my age.
Yeah. I think the main objective for this team this year is I think it's just, you know, try to win as much games as you can. You try to build the value up of your young studs. So come 19, you know, summer 19, you can move some of those pieces to make room for that second or even a third max player if they can get them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, too, is that there's a lot of headstrong personalities on this roster. So I think it's going to be interesting on how they all mesh with LeBron.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
When you said like a headstrong mishmash of players, like when I saw like Beasley, McGee, Rondo,
Lance.
I was like, yo, what are they thinking? Like, are they like, I know they're trying to fill the bench, but they're bringing in personalities that are just, it's just, it creates like, who has a history of conflict and controversy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how this works in terms of developing the youth and mentoring these young guys with the Beasleys and the McGees. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I find it hilarious, to be honest.
Yeah, and then we're gonna see because you know what's his name again? LeVar Ball is looming in the background to say some outlandish shit at some LeVar. Point this season. He's staying quiet now, but like. You know he's only gonna hide in the bushes for so long.
Oh man, this team is gonna be interesting to watch off the court.
Yep. Oh yeah, definitely. And who's your sneaky play?
You know what? I say this more so of the individual this time versus fantasy. I like Josh Hart. I like how he's developed. The reason why I say a little bit away from fantasy, I just don't think he's gonna get the minutes that's gonna be deserving of a sneaky fantasy player pick. But if he was on like a Memphis. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
he'll be like a top six, like five round pick, like Josh Hart. But I like where he's going. I think if he can get some minutes in LA, he's a guy you want to get. But I just don't think he can get those minutes. I don't really have any other sneaky plays that I would tell anybody that you want to, you know, look out for. But Josh Hart, yeah.
So number five, we got the Denver Nuggets. So I'll ask this question.
Yep.
When you're watching the Nuggets this season and you see Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench, will you not shed a tear for him?
I will shed a tear, but not because of him coming off the bench. Or I think I'm going to be shedding tears because I don't think I'm going to be watching him and I'm going to be seeing a player that was a former shell of himself. He's not going to be the same player that we once saw in Boston. I think it's going to be the player that we saw in Cleveland. And I think it might be even worse. I think he's never been the same since that hip surgery. And it's sad to see like how high he was and where he's at now. So, but yeah, I'm going to shed a tear because I like fighting for the little guys and seeing those little guys push through and prove people wrong. But And he was he a first round pick? Was he like the last round, last pick of the first round, or was he a second round?
No,
pick?
he was the last when he got drafted. Pick, he was the last pick of the pick of the draft,
second round, right?
Of the draft.
Of the draft, yeah. The second round. So those type of guys, I love seeing push through and make it to the point where they're starting. And he was an all star, so
I know.
But yeah,
and I think, yeah, number one, I think I feel sorry for him in a sense where, yeah, like his bank account would have changed his whole family's life for generations had he not got hurt. And not, how everything unfolded the last year and a bit, you know, it's just crazy. Like, you would have never expected. You thought for sure this guy was going to at least get $100 million for like four years, at least something, you know what I mean? And just how everything played out, it's sad, actually. And I think he's going to be the example of how top players are going to conduct themselves going forward. Like, they're not going to come back, especially when you're in a contract year.
They're not coming back
until they're 100% healthy. Because again, as we just mentioned, he cost himself about $100 million easy. But
he was also in that position where if he didn't come back, who was going to give him a contract?
I know. It's tough.
It's like the DeMarcus Cousins, like this year kind of thing. Like, he's hurt. Like, nobody's going to give him. He had to settle for that $5 million. Well, not settle. He's on Golden State, but like, he didn't get what he wanted. So that could have been Isaiah Thomas as well, right?
Yeah. He only signed for $2 million this year. It's crazy. And listen, let's not underestimate this. Don't think Kawhi wasn't watching that too when he was in San Antonio, right?
Oh yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
Don't think that
yeah.
wasn't playing in his mind or like in his camp's mind. Like, don't think that like watching Isaiah Thomas, they're like, I'm not going out there to risk further injury and, you know, and cost myself money. Like, the hell with that. I'm gonna get healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is the team I expect to make the biggest jump in the West.
Listen, I like Denver.
Yeah, I like Denver a lot. They almost made the playoffs even though they lost Millsap for half the season.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, look, Jokic, Nikola Jokic, he's a top four center. He's a potential All-NBA player this season. I think he might be the first center. I nominate him to be the first center to average a triple-double before his career is over. The guy almost averaged 50-40-90, Julian.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Underrated, like not underrated, but doesn't get the love that I think he should get.
Yeah,
that's the market he's playing in that Midwest. What do you call it, time zone too as well? It doesn't help, but yeah, I agree.
His unique skill set is crazy. Like, you don't even need a traditional point guard because you can legitimately run your entire offense through him. And I think because of that, like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, like their pairing works because of the Jokic factor. Sorry, before we move on, I do kind of worry about their pairing long term because I'm just not entirely sure how it's going to play out moving forward, just size wise and defensively. But
between who? Pairing what?
With Harris and Murray. But I'm hoping Murray's game takes that next step because I'm a big fan of his. I really hope that, you know, like he takes that next level.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be like the point guard of the future for them, so he has to keep growing and mold his game into that point guard role. He still, to me, is like a two-guard scorer's mentality, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to kind of change the game up a little bit more. He's changing it, which is good, but he has to change it a little bit more to be that point guard type of player right now. Right now, to me, he's still like a shooting guard in a point guard's bottom. But I love his like going forward, I think he probably has one of the highest ceilings for Canadian players going forward.
Oh, absolutely. Right, absolutely. And I think they're gonna, you know, like last year, look, only three games separated the number three spot from the ninth spot last year, right? I think not only they're gonna make the playoffs, obviously we have them as number five. I think they're gonna win over 50 games this year. And one thing with Michael Porter Jr., I think anything you get from him, it's almost like an OG situation with the Raptors. Like, anything you get from him this season is a bonus, but I think it would be great. But I think you would treat it like they should treat it like a redshirt season with him, like a medical redshirt. They just get him healthy, and then next year you bring him out as like a quote unquote rookie.
Yeah, they have no other option, to be honest.
No, and anything else you want to add before we move on? Like, who's your sneaky fantasy?
I guess that's my sneaky pick, I guess, for fantasy wise. Everybody should be keeping their eyes out on Will Barton this year. I think he finally gets into that starting lineup. I think he finally gets that, not attention. And I think everybody pretty much knows what he can do off the bench. But I think now he gets the touches the focus a bit more to create and do what he wants to do. So I think Will Barton, if you're looking for, he may not be a sleeper as much now, but he might be a guy that you may want to target.
All right, so number four, we got the Utah Jazz. Can Donovan Mitchell be the All-NBA type of player this season?
Yeah, of course, man. Like, it's hard to answer. I say yes, but it's hard to answer those questions after 1 year. Like, right. Give me 2-3 years, and I'd be like, no, 2 years at least minimum. And then I can see it, say, yeah, for sure. But what he showed in that first year, yeah, of course. He got better with, like, literally almost with each game.
I know.
Through, like, the season, and to the point where he was like a force to be reckoned with. But yeah, he can be that guy in this year. I'm interested to see how much he develops this year. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the second year players is like teams know now. Like, teams focus on what you've done last year. Teams adjust, and the NBA is a smart league now. They have like scouts and all this like analysis where they can like evaluate your game and break it down. So we'll see how he does this year. He won't be surprising nobody.
No.
Players, coaches, nobody. So we'll see. And I can definitely give you a better answer at the end of this year, which is not really, yeah, whatever. But the point of the podcast. But yeah, the talent he has, he's definitely going to be an all-star for years to come.
I love how his game developed and just elevated during the playoffs. Like, that baptism by fire, I think, is only going to help him going forward. And honestly, you know, and we're going to get to this other team in a moment, but like, again, I keep talking about this, Julian. I just can't help it, man. That series against Oklahoma City, like, he looked like the boys' vet on either side of the floor. He was the best player on the floor pretty much that whole series to me. And to me, I'm like, I think like that just that experience is, you know, especially getting to the second round and seeing how that looks like and playing a team like how Houston was playing last year. Like, I think it's going to elevate his play going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I the only one that's about to say these two things right now? That number one, I'm actually interested to, I can't believe I'm even going to say this, Julian, but I'm actually interested to see how Grayson Allen performs this year. I kind of want to see how he looks. He looks interesting, at least from Summer League and the exhibition. I think, with a name like Grayson Allen and a team like Utah, it's a perfect marriage. Let's face it. Number one. But
a perfect environment, perfect city, perfect city.
Oh my God.
But I see fans embracing him too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think because of that, I think he might be pretty good this year.
I think he'll carve out a role off the bench. Producing and tenacity and some type of attitude for the second unit. Like, I think he had a great first preseason game. It was phenomenal. I surprised a lot of people. But I think he'll be, I definitely think he'll be an impact player off the bench for Utah.
Yes.
Maybe by the halfway mark of this year, I see him definitely being like somebody that they can go to for help, like off the second unit.
Yeah, and then the other thing I want to say too is like, Utah is actually on my short list of teams I actually want to watch this season.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're between, like, they got a free-flowing offense. They move the ball like crazy. I think Joe Ingles is very underrated. Mm-hmm. And then having Gobert healthy for the whole season just changes their projections as a whole. Like, and then Quinn Snyder, he's a great coach. Yeah, he looks like the villain from Die Hard, but like, but he can really coach, man. Like,
yeah, he can coach.
I really like this team a lot, man. And I think we have them slotted correctly, the fourth spot. I had them as six, but I'm cool with them being fourth. I have no issue with that.
You know, with that little bit of experience in last year that they got going into the playoffs and winning, I think that helps in terms of building a better team going forward and the culture and experience and whatnot. And I think that will kind of give them like put higher expectations on themselves to do better. Once you have those kind of like expectations and you want to be better, do better. Only good things can come from that, and that's why I have them so high.
And who's your sneaky fantasy play?
You know, it's really hard. Like, Utah is not really like a fantasy type of factory of players that you want to target anybody. But I don't want to name starters because, like, I like English. Ingles or Ingles, however you Ingles, call yeah. him. Ingles. But no, I don't want to call him. I really like Royce O'Neal, not from a fantasy point. Like, I just have to choose somebody. But I like Royce O'Neal coming off the bench. And if he can, like, if Ingles goes down, I think he can get you, like, those, like, rebounds, assists, steals, type of, like stats that you're looking for. Not, like, the 15, 12, 14 points, but he can, like, stat stuff around the board. He's a great rebounder. Mm-hmm. He's actually can play the power forward spot. I like Royce O'Neal.
The third spot that we have here is for Oklahoma City. Has Russell Westbrook learned from his postseason mistakes?
You would hope so, but as you said before, you pretty much are after who you are after so many years in the league. And with his high tempo, high energy type play, it's hard to stop and take a look and slow things down and learn how to play differently. But no, to answer your question, no. No, but he's still who he is, man. He's still one of the best point guard, if not the best point guard in the league. Game changer, intimidator, like, for his size and his energy level is unmatched. So I think they could do better. I think they will do well. I think Paul George kind of finds himself a little bit more with the subtraction of Melo. I think they do better. I think they put in more of a role player. Hopefully Robinson. I don't know if he's healthy. Is he healthy yet?
No, he had a setback, so he's going to be gone for a while longer. Yep.
That's not good.
Nope.
That's not good. That's not good for the squad. I really don't think they're going to finish third. Like, I know that's what we have them at, but
yeah, neither do I actually. But
I don't think they're going to finish third. I don't know where I had them at personally, but not this high. I know that much. But I like Schroeder. I like Schroeder coming in terms of not him. He's not a starter. He's not a starter in this league. He's like that borderline starter. He's not a starter. He can come in and be, he can play like play with Russ in the second quarter, third quarter.
Now, I'll disagree with one thing that you said about Russ being the best point guard in the league. I think I don't put, you know what? I'm at the point now where I don't put a position on Westbrook anymore. I just think he's a great player. With that said, to answer my question, I'm going to say I don't think he learns from his experience. You know, I thought I said it before. I'll say it again. I thought his personality really got exposed to an embarrassing degree last year, and by a rookie, you know, in that Utah series. Like, if anything, I think that OKC needed to get a true point guard to play with him at the end of games just to make the right decisions. Because I think you just, like, Westbrook is a guy you let the leash go. You just unleash him. But you got to have a general there to kind of keep everybody in place. You know what I mean? Like, and
well,
I don't know.
Schroeder isn't that guy, though. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree. But
like,
Schroeder isn't that guy.
Like, it's funny. I'll say it again. I think a guy like Rondo, and I think it's funny. Even the guy he was beefing with in that series, Ricky Rubio, would actually be perfect. But they got somebody. They got somebody in Dennis Schroeder. They hope to kind of be that guy. He's a good decision maker, and he plays hard. But can he withstand Russ's personality and sheer intensity? Because that shit is really strong, man.
It's unbelievably strong.
Because like he is the alpha dog on that team. You know, like, as good as Paul George is, like, he's a beast, man. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I think it's a gift and a curse, because of, like, the way he plays, you want him to be that way. You want him to have that mindset. But, like, as a teammate, as a coach, as somebody that can try to rein him in, that's not a good thing, because I don't think I can't see anybody on that roster right now that could be that person that could rein him in. You know what I mean? Like I said, to me, like, a Rondo would have been perfect, because a Rondo, you know, Rondo, you'll see this season, Rondo will give it back to LeBron, you know, if he sees LeBron fucking up. So in this situation, I think he would have been a perfect guy for somebody like Russell, that Russell would at least respect and listen to, you know, as a teammate. I don't see anybody here that's going to do it. Not even Coach Donovan.
No, they are who they are. They are who they have been for the last couple of years. Even with additions and subtractions of players, they are who they are because of Russ. And they are a good team, just not a great team. Yeah. And they would not be a great team because of how they play in the playoffs, right?
So. Yeah, and then I think they're not going to be a great team leaving decision-making to Russ in the playoffs. I just think we've seen it too many times. It doesn't work out well.
Until they're too emotional, too high strung. Yeah. It works to his favor in most situations, but in those small or those lesser situations, it hurts them dramatically, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And it's usually those small little plays or that 1-2 or plays in the late in the game or or on the line where a crucial decision needs to be made, and he just doesn't execute that what you want him to do at that time. So, yeah, but anyhow, I don't know how you got him at three, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't, like I said, I think it averaged out for them to be number three. I think I had them like fifth, or actually I had them fourth. I don't even think they should even be this high, to be honest with you.
No.
And who's your sneaky play?
It may not be sneaky, but Schroeder, like in terms, I know he's coming off the bench, I assume. And I think in terms of fantasy production wise, he's a guy that can get you. He might be playing depending on Westbrook in terms of how healthy he is and whatnot. But he's going to get you your five assists, maybe like 10 points, and maybe a couple of rebounds and steals like for that late round pick.
So number two, we got the Houston Rockets. So here's the question I'll ask: will Carmelo Anthony signing eventually backfire in Houston's face?
No, I won't say that's a good question, though. But no, it won't backfire because I think this year he himself has a different approach to his role and even his career. I think he's finally accepted that he's not the guy that he once was. I think last year he thought he was still the man or the guy that should have the ball in his hands at certain times, and that's what hurt them, right? He was taking some ill-advised shots, and he wasn't doing anything, like rebounding, anything else. He just thought he could be doing what he's been doing all these years, and he can't. Your game has to evolve at some point, and I think he finally realized that point was last year. So I don't think it's going to backfire. I think I don't think it's going to help them significantly either, but I think it would benefit them having a scorer come off the bench that can score, still do those little things, right? He's still 6'9" or whatever. So he can still, he can rebound. He's evolving a little bit more. He's rebounding a little bit more. So I think if he can accept where his game is at in his career and accept his role, he did say that he's willing to come off the bench now. Last year, what did he say?
He laughed.
He was speaking in the third person and saying that Carmelo doesn't come off, or something like that. It was hilarious. He doesn't come off the bench. No, he's not ready yet to come off the bench. But I think he is. But now I know. Not I think he said he is. So, yeah, I think he's going to help the team, actually, more so than hurt.
Yeah, offensively, no, he's not going to hurt them. Defensively, hell yes. I can't see him changing his ways to that degree where he's going to help them defensively.
He's never been that guy.
No. I mean, if he proves me wrong, then, hey, that's great for Houston. But I think losing Ariza and Luke Mabute is huge. Like the team, they've always been filled with gunners, and you know, like to me, it's funny. Like watching them a lot of times last year, a part of me still like, how the hell did they win 65 games playing the way they play? Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me. But I think the biggest thing is that they had guys like, you know, PJ Tucker and Mabute and Ariza that balanced them out defensively. And I think
Capella.
Yeah, not including Capella, but that's what made them really good. You know what I mean? Because offensively, they're gonna score buckets. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Like Mike D'Antoni, he's gonna have, especially in the regular season, he's a genius. I just question is how he operates his roster in the playoffs. But like in the regular season, you don't have to worry about that. Like he's got it locked down. But like defensively, that's the biggest hit that I think they're gonna take. And who's gonna be that guy this season? Is like outside of Clinton PJ, like they need that third defensive guy. Like, who's that gonna be? Is it gonna be Gerald Green? Is it gonna be Harden? Is it gonna be Melo? Like who's it gonna be? To me, like they're the second best team in the league, and I think they're gonna take a step back this season. Like they came closer than anyone to beating Golden State, especially like this version of them with Durant since he's got there. But like, I think it's tricky to see how it's going to play out, especially due to like Chris Paul's injury history too.
Yeah. I think you're bang on. You're absolutely right in terms of they're going to take a step back and Paul's injuries, though he's known to not play more than 60 games with his hamstring. It's the same hamstring over and over and over. So you know after like 20, 30 games in, he's gonna go down. But it just goes to show you just how good Harden is, man. He can win games on his own.
Ah, he's phenomenal.
Make others play better. So
he's
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
That's how good he is, man. So I think the guys go down, they're still gonna win. They're still gonna be who they are. They're just not gonna be that same 65 win. They won 65 games last year.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I know.
Wow. So yeah. Wow. But yeah, they're gonna be well. They're gonna do just fine. They're gonna do just fine, even with injuries and whatnot. But they missed Ariza. They're gonna miss that shutdown type of guy. PJ Tucker is gonna have to do it, man.
Yeah.
They have enough faith in him, I guess, right, to do so.
I guess so, yeah. But it's funny, like, going back to Harden, what I thought was amazing was, like, watching him play, like, literally and figuratively, you can see how slow the game is for him, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see, you know, when great players, and then this is for any sport, like, it's, the game just looks like it's going in slow motion for them. Like, that's how Harden, I know that's kind of how he plays in a sense, but, like, you can just see it. Like, everything is so calculated and so easy. You can't shake him off of any spot. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, I'm looking forward to just watching him play again this year. Like, I thought how he played last year was amazing. And he's going to be an MVP candidate again, obviously. But I just don't think you're going to catch lightning in a bottle twice with this team. I just don't see it. I guess I could actually see them losing in, like, the second round.
Well, they better do it soon because Chris Paul is not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
They might be able to attract some – I don't know what the cap situation is, but – if Chris Paul, if they sign him to like max, what's the situation now?
They sign him to max the 40, I think 160 over four.
40 more years, eh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot for, what is he, 30?
33.
4, 5? How old?
33.
33? He's like LeBron's. So yeah, that's a lot for, in terms of years, the money, he owed that. Like, he should get that max money, I agree, but not for that amount of years. Well, we'll see, man. I think they got another two, maybe this year and next year, max, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless they bring somebody else in.
I agree. And who's your sneaky fantasy play?
I like James Ennis. Okay. I like James Ennis this year. He'll get the time. He'll get more minutes this year going forward with the with Ariza being traded. They need somebody to step up. They got Gerald Green, but I think he's the guy, your small forward going forward, because if you really look at it, I don't think they have a true power forward on this team, like a 6'9" type of guy. So meaning that Tucker's not going to play small forward. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think James Ennis has an opportunity to carve out some minutes and to produce. So he's that guy that you want to keep an eye on, at least if you're not going to draft him.
All right, so number one, obviously, we got the Avengers at number one, otherwise known as the Golden State Warriors. So I got two questions. With the Warriors having 5 All-Star, All-NBA players on their roster, can Golden State end up winning 100 games during the regular season? And yes, I did do the math right. I did.
Yes. Yes, including preseason, including... Yeah, man, for sure. No, they're going to be the same, man. Like, and like, they are the same team. I mean, maybe you just, if anything, they're more experienced, a year older, but they're still in their prime of their careers, right? So nothing has changed. If anything, they added more, right, with DeMarcus Cousins when he does come back. He's not going to be the same player initially, but he's still better than, who was it, McGee? I don't know who was starting center last year. I don't know, but he's still better, whoever was
Pachula, yeah, Pachula.
Zaza. So, yeah, Zaza, exactly. So, yeah, man, I don't – there is no ceiling. There is no ceiling. It's just a matter of if they still have that hunger in them, and I think they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's the NBA life. They know what comes along with winning, the attention and notoriety. So I think they still have that in them, and they have those personalities in them that they want to win, right? So with Draymond, I like you know, he has that intensity to make you want to win if you're on his squad. So that's one of the things that he does bring, other than what he brings on the floor, right? Which we talked about with like the opposite with Wiggins and other guys like that. So yeah, they're going to be the same team, if not better, and they're going to win it all again. This is a new NBA that I'm talking about. Like, I don't know if I like. Like, it's like, you know what's going to happen. It'd be entertaining to watch individual players, individual teams, to see them grow. But in terms of looking forward to the championship game, I'm not looking forward to like the finals, like Golden State versus a team from the East. I'm not looking forward to that. So it is what it is. And Golden State is going to be the champion again.
Yeah, like their ceiling, if you want to put a ceiling on the team, they're basically a convertible. Right, like this.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. The other question I want to ask you is, will this be the last season that we see Golden State as they are currently constructed?
Well, cause who's coming up? Draymond, is he coming up?
I think Draymond has a player option. Klay's a free agent next year, and obviously, you know, Durant keeps signing these 1-on-1 deals, so he'll be a free agent again next year.
I think the way that they are so tight with one another and that they all want to come back. I think genuinely that they all want to come back. Once you have that, once you know that from your star player or your franchise players, it helps you to maneuver and make things work. So I don't know the whole cap situation, but if they all want to come back, the owner will make it happen somehow, trading players or whatnot. So yeah, and they know what they're able to do, right? In the past, by playing together, by winning not just games but championships. So
I know
if that's what they all want to do, they all want to come back. Like Draymond, you know, a lot of players say that, oh, I want to come back, but some players don't say nothing at all. We'll see when it comes. But these guys say they all want to come back. So that being said, I see them all coming back somehow.
Yeah, I can see them lasting 2 more years together. I think the aim is, well, first of all, they locked up the quote unquote team of the decade category at this point. You know, 3 titles in the last 4 years, aiming for a 5th. They pretty much locked that up. Like Miami was, they had a good run, and you know, San Antonio won a couple, you know, won a ring at least and such, and you know, Dallas won one. But I think this is like the era of Golden State, I think, at this stage, especially if they lock up a 4th title in the last 5 years. I think that's pretty much it. I think they've already wrapped up the team of the decade category, but I think they're going to last 2 more years together. I think and the reason why I say it is because I think they're going to, you know, if they can win 2 more, they'll be the first team since the Celtics of the 60s to win 4 straight titles. And to be able to do that in this modern era is going to be like, it's unheard of. So I actually think they're going to stay 2 more years and try to aim for that. And then I think if they can accomplish that, then I think Durant kind of goes his own way. And I think either Draymond or Klay maybe go their own way. We already know Boogie's going to be going his own way. Cause if he can, all Boogie has to do is just play nice for a year to 2 years. That's all he has to do with this team. Like if there's somebody that's gonna make that locker room explode, it's gonna be him. But like I think there's too many guys there that's gonna, including the coaching staff and upper management, that's gonna be able to keep him in check. So
yeah, and the winning helps too. The winning.
Oh, absolutely. He's never won. He's never come close to winning. Last year was the closest he had to winning, and then he blew his Achilles and he had to sit on the bench and watch them make it to the second round without him.
When you come into a winning environment and you haven't really won, you can't say much. Oh, you shouldn't. Oh, he can't say much. He can say whatever he wants because he's off the chains because he's crazy. But he technically should not be able to say anything in terms of complaining, creating issues, because you're in a winning environment which you have no experience of and you're new to the team. Mm-hmm. But anything can happen with Boogie. That's the whole wild. This guy can wake up on the wrong side of the bed and look at the headlines and don't see his name or something. That's another thing. One last thing I just wanted to say. Like, it's crazy that in this era, like, how players want to play with certain players and whatnot. When it was, like, back in the early 2000s, players wanted to leave to carve out their own team. You know, right. Like, I want my own team kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just wild that to me how, you know, like, players want to play with certain players now. Like, I want to play with Kyrie or I want to play with Curry. It's like, players were trying to leave teams because it was like, I want my own team. I want to be like the star of the team. Is this the new era? I see them all coming back.
And it's funny because like to touch on that point, like if that Raptors team of like 2000 was here now, Tracy McGrady definitely would have stayed.
Yeah, exactly.
He wouldn't even have thought about it. And in fact, him and Vince probably would have been on a recruiting spree that summer trying to get a third guy to join them.
Yeah, like that's my whole point in terms of how things have changed in terms of like, whereas a player probably saw back then, me having my own team, I can have more, I have the market share. I can expand my businesses and be that kind of like face of the franchise. But now it's like, remember, like the whole like Kobe and Shaq or Shaq yeah. and Penny Hardaway. Those are all issues. But now it's like, no, let's get together and win and make money. And we can still, there's enough market with the way media is now where you can
social
you
media
can share. You can share the market yeah. kind of thing, literally.
And so and social media raises the profile like for NBA yeah. players like no honestly nope. like no other sport in the world like they're mm-hmm. like even like a player like Jimmy Butler who's I mean he's an all-star but he's not a superstar like mm-hmm. you know he requests a trade and that is like that takes over like the sport of world news like it's crazy yeah.
you know the game itself has changed yeah you're right in terms of the NBA in terms of its popularity in terms of giving players exposure and whatnot yeah that made headline news man. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with that. Like I think the super team here I don't know how I wonder how much longer it's gonna stay. I don't know if I want it's probably here to stay for the next little while anyway.
It is here to stay for a while because it's already polarizing where teams are either super good or you're just there. Meaning like you either rebuild or you're like that eighth, ninth spot. That's how it is basically.
Yeah.
It's only like top three teams and then everybody else is like in that gray area.
Yeah, so basically.
I think it is going to be like that because players are going to be like, I want to be on a super team now.
Yeah.
Like, or like those studs, so those big major, or even those vet players with 1 year, 2 years left in their career, they want to be on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't change because that's the way it is until those teams kind of dilute and those guys get older, like Durant and LeBron and a new era of players come into the league. And that's when it's going to change. But that's going to be, man, maybe another 5 years down the line.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I agree with you on that one. And who's your sneaky play to wrap up?
It's on Golden State. I don't have nobody, man. Like, do I need a sneaky play on Golden State? Like there is nobody really, like, no, there is nobody. I can't even tell you. Like, nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. I have nobody. Because there's nobody that's going to produce fantasy-wise. Maybe the center, maybe – I don't know, whoever plays center, whoever wins the starting, I'll tell you guys that. Whoever wins the starting center spot is going to be the sneaky player. I don't know who it is.
Jordan Bell? Yeah, either Jordan yeah. Bell or, yeah.
He's the guy that you may want to play. He might get some garbage minutes, like in the end, when they're blowing out teams, he might play.
I think he'll play a little bit. Yeah,
no, I mean, he might actually put some points up on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they want to develop him as well, and they're up by 20 going in the fourth, who else are you going to play?
My prediction for this team is obviously I'm not gonna say they're gonna win. We all know that, but I think they're gonna have a hellacious 7-game series against Boston. That's my prediction for the finals. Like that's the
seven
one team
games,
I think Boston is the best team. They're the most equipped team to challenge Golden State. I think this year
100%. 100% agree to that, yeah. Without a doubt.
So I think that's where I can see that series going. And then the leader of that team already had experience beating them in Kyrie Irving, right? So
yeah, that is true.
And then I think the other part too is just I think Steph. I mean, this sounds funny to say, but I think Steph is going to remind you just how great he is this season. Like, and not to say like he stepped back, but like. You know, I always said, like, him and Durant kind of take away from each other a little bit because they got to sacrifice a little because they're playing on the same team. But, like, I think we're going to see something closer to the 2016 Steph, I think, this season. That's my prediction. That's my
prediction. That's a good prediction, though. You can't lose too much by putting your foot out there on a guy like Steph.
So I know, bold prediction, right? Bold prediction, right?
Well, you know, it is kind of bold because you think he can't top what he did like the year past, like. But no, that's a fair prediction,
yeah.
Or a rookie one,
because I mean, really and truly, like he stepped back the most with Durant, like you know what I mean, like with Durant being I wouldn't say the most, but he had to scale it back a little bit. I think this series, just like yo, fuck it, I'm just like I'm still gonna be Steph, I'm still gonna pass and do all that stuff, but. Like I'm not holding anything back anymore.
Yeah. You
know? So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But on that note, brother, thank you for coming to the podcast, man.
I'm always good to talk basketball or fantasy or sports, period. So
yeah,
no problem.
And you know we're gonna this podcast is held in the GTA. We're definitely gonna have some Raptor, you know, influenced podcast episodes. So, you know, I'll be back for some of those.
Bring me back. Yeah, I'll be ready to talk Raptor ball, man. I'm looking forward to the year, to the season, seeing how this team meshes with the new guys, the new acquisitions. And the East is wide open. Like, not wide open, but, like, the top five. Let me know, I think Boston, for sure, is clear number one. Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting between two and four.
Yeah, absolutely. And my last note with the NBA season, June, I think you should get ready for the two-time champion of the Fantasy League. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Did you win it last year?
I damn you. Of course I did.
Oh, you did.
Of course I did.
You did. I gotta talk to, just so you guys know, I'm not the commissioner of this league. And this league, the commissioner's a good guy. He's a good guy. But he has it set up where the playoffs is like running into like the last week of the NBA season, where bench warmers are getting minutes and people are dropping guys for bench warmers. But that's why I lost, people, just in case you guys are wondering how I'm not winning leagues with Calvin in them. So.
Oh wow! Okay.
Shorten that fantasy schedule. I gotta give him a message, an email right now to shorten that the league by 2 weeks.
We'll see what happens. I'm gonna you know, clear my mantle for that second trophy. That's all I gotta say.
Good season, though. I gotta see. I'll be ready.
All right, brother. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Av Podcast today and checking out the Western Conference playoff teams on part two of South Shore Av's annual NBA season preview. I'd like to send a big thanks to Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, for coming on and co-piloting the Western Conference Preview Pod for the third year in a row. Much appreciated, brother, and blessings, except, you know, for your fantasy team in our league. You know that. I'll be back to do the Eastern Conference next Monday and Tuesday for parts 3 and 4 of the NBA Preview. So make sure you tune into that. And you know what's a good way to do that? It's super easy. By listening and subscribing to South Shore Ave wherever you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. And to get familiar with my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you listen and subscribe to the website. That's SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. For Julian, a.k.a. Jews the Commish, this is Kyle C. And you just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Av Radio. And one more thing before I forget. If you haven't listened to part one of the NBA Preview, by all means, the second this podcast is over, flip back right over to part one and get your life fulfilled. All right, now I'm gone. All right, until next week. Peace. We out.